praise the Lord. Good singing this morning, good testimonies, and good to be with you in the house of God. Amen? Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll stand for our final hymn prior to the sermon. Let's open up to 259. 259. Revive us again. Indeed, we'll stand for our final hymn prior to the sermon. And we'll sing all four.
Yeah. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, and the glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, and the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us so Savior and scattered our light. Yeah. Hallelujah, and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Find the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, find the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again.
Hey, praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. Good singing this morning. Making a joyful sound, I tell you. Well, we'll pick them up again afterwards. But let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks. And open up to Matthew's Gospel this morning. And get over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. As you're turning there, let me give you this week's for what it's worth. Recently in Cincinnati, Ohio, a young minister just out of seminary decided to take a job on the police force for a few months to gain experience dealing with people. After passing the physical, he took an oral exam, which was designed to test his mental alertness. One of the questions he was asked was, "What would you do to disperse an angry mob?" He quickly replied, "I take up a collection." Okay, Matthew chapter 10 this morning. You scatter them quick. In Matthew chapter 10, beloved, I have a message that the Lord's laid on mine heart, and it has to do with the Lord's sovereign providential care over each and every one of us. Look with me here. Remain seated as we read the word this morning. In Matthew chapter 10, look with me. I'm going to begin reading in verse 27. And the Lord Jesus is trying to teach his disciples to trust him. We just sang about it, right? And here in Matthew chapter 10, look with me in verse 27. And words in red. Amen? The Lord is speaking. "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which have killed the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse number 30, I'll use as my text. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I want to speak to you on the numbered hairs this morning. Father in heaven, how we thank you for verse 30, which Lord so plainly declares and proclaims to the world that you know even the number of hairs on our head. Lord, you know it all. You're omniscient and you're omnipotent. Oh Lord, I thank you so much this morning for the comforting words in red. The numbered hairs. Who numbers them? Why does he number them? In what way? Father, we just ask you to bless your word this morning. Lord Jesus, give us an understanding by your spirit, Lord, that we would become closer acquainted with thee and that we would learn to trust thee even more in our daily lives. We thank you for all you're going to do through this morning's message. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Beloved, this is an incredible passage to me because the Lord Jesus makes a declaration in verse 30 concerning his omniscience. That is, that he knows everything about you and still loves you. Isn't that good? Listen, how considerate is he of our anxieties? The blessed Lord Jesus here in Matthew 10 knew that his faithful followers would be facing persecution. So he sought to encourage and cheer them. Amen. No matter what you're going through, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is there with you to cheer you and encourage you through it. And how tender and caring a way he puts things to his disciples. He points to the individual hairs of our head. He says that even every one of them is kept track of by the Father in heaven. Wow. This morning I want to let the Lord Jesus speak encouragement to our hearts as I preach a sermon I've entitled The Numbered Hairs. I see four particular things on God's part that Jesus Christ is trying to make his people understand in verse number 30. They are foreordination, observation, valuation, and preservation. Four things the Lord is trying to teach his people. The first thing I see is his foreordination. Look at verse 30 again. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. They're all numbered. Now, Jesus is saying here that the hairs of your head have all been individually chosen and numbered to be there. They're not there by accident. Some of us, oh, thank you, my dear. Some of us have a few more, some of us have a few less. But the Lord has foreordained for them to be there. Listen, foreordination. It means previously ordained or appointed, predetermined. Wow. Do you realize that God has predetermined everything that would ever happen in each of our lives? I don't know about you, but I had a bit of a dysfunctional childhood. And you know what? I realize now, knowing God and knowing his word, that it was all pre-planned by my father. He loves me, and he knew whatever it was I'd go through in my life, and he was there with me, and he's carried us through, folks. I'm here to tell you this morning, foreordination is a doctrine of Scripture. Now listen carefully. The Lord Jesus speaks both of the past and the present, as well as the future. Here in verse 30, there are four aspects to foreordination. The first I want you to see is its extent. How far does it reach, this foreordination of God? Predestination extends to everything. Everything. Listen, all the man, his being as a whole, is foreknown by God. In Psalm 139, verse 16, don't turn there. David says by the Holy Ghost, in thy book, all my members were written, when as yet there was none of them. He pre-planned even your physical body. Listen, this would also imply that all that concerns the man is foreknown by God. This also means that all that we do, even the least thought or act, is known by him before it occurs. I hope you're listening. This also indicates that all that we undergo, all that happens to us in this life, is foreordained by God. Do you know that the devil can't do anything to you without his permission? Just ask Job. I'm so thankful this morning that anything that comes into my life is allowed by my Father in heaven, and somehow it's for my good. Wow, that is wonderful. The extent of this foreordination includes everything. What a peace that'll give you. Secondly, concerning this foreordination, is its source. Look at this in verse 30. Jesus says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." I got a question for you. Who numbered them? Who is the source of this numbering? Listen, its source is God, our Maker. The counting is done by the Lord. He's the one who predetermined all this for me. Wow. Thirdly, concerning this foreordination, is its lessons. What lessons does it teach us? Jesus mentions this foreordination to teach us to be brave under trials, realizing it's all part of his plan. My Father's got it all under control, no matter what my circumstances look like. Amen? Listen, another lesson it teaches us is to be submissive to God's will, realizing it's his choices for me, whatever comes my way. Another lesson is to be hopeful, realizing that God has a purpose that he is trying to accomplish through my life in everything that occurs. Wow. Another lesson we learn is to be joyful under such circumstances, realizing that God is working for our good. He said, "I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you." God is a good God, and he wants the very best for his children. But fourthly, concerning this foreordination, we've seen its extent, we've seen its source, we've seen its influence. But fourthly, its influence. Its influence. Listen to me. Knowing that God arranges even the hairs of my head gives me a sense of honor and unique purpose. If God could care so much about this sinner, Bob Oliver, that he would stop and number the very hairs that would be upon my scalp, this gives me great peace, knowing that he cares for me and he's foreordained it all. Ephesians chapter 1. Flip over with me to Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment. And look at this, concerning this foreordination, which Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. It's fascinating when you get into it and you consider the scope, the grand scope of it. It's just amazing that God has everything pre-planned. Look at it, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." That's foreordination. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto something very special, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Paul says God foreordained that you would be adopted by his Father. Wow. Oh, that is so good. God had a plan for me to be adopted. Wow. I love it. Look at verse 9. Ephesians 1 verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being," why have we obtained an inheritance? "Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now notice the wording in verse 11. All things according to his foreordination. I love it. You know what, folks? Election is a doctrine of the Bible. Sure, but the Calvinists got it all wrong. they annihilate the free will of man. Okay? And they say that God forced you to accept his son. Instead of understanding that God inhabits eternity. There's no past or future with God. God knows what you'll choose before you do. And because of that, he can foreordain. Oh, this is so good. This foreordination. All things are according to his purpose. Some years ago, at the annual session of the Southern Baptist Convention in San Francisco, they've slipped quite a bit too, brother. M.T. Rankin led the prayer of thanksgiving for the life of martyred missionary William Wallace. The prayer closed as follows, and I quote, he said, God is too wise to make a mistake. He's too good to do any evil, and he's too strong to be imposed upon. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's how he prayed for the missionary that was martyred. Amen. He said God knew about it. God allowed it. That's what we have to realize. Someone said no physician ever weighed out medicine to his patient with half so much care and exactness as God weighs out to us every trial. Every trial you go through is weighed and accounted for by God. Not one grain too much does he ever permit to be put in the scale. Wow. Beloved, listen to Jesus this morning. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He's saying, all things in your life are foreordained by the Father. So learn to accept and rest in whatever he allows. Amen. Amen. If the very hairs of my head are numbered, how can I resist his will? How can I say, oh, why is this happening to me? No, God is allowing it. Oh, what a great lesson. Lesson number one. The foreordination of God. But something else the Lord's trying to teach us back in our text. Look at Matthew chapter 10 again, in verse number 30. Secondly, he's trying to teach us about his observation. Notice this in verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, I like this. Because, listen, Jesus says, my Father knows everything about you, even the exact number of hairs on your head. Now, this observation is called divine omniscience. That is, that God knows all things in the universe. He knows everything. You can't teach God anything because he already knows. Amen? He's a perfect being. He's an eternal, omnipotent, omniscient being. There are two things we must understand about God's divine observation. First, notice its character. Jesus says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Notice first, it's minute character in verse 30. The hairs of your head, he points to the skinniest object on our body, the hairs of our head. And he says, every one of them, your Father knows and counts. Wow, what an observation he makes of me. Scientists tell us that there are between 120 and 140,000 hairs on the average scalp. Wow, some a little more, some a little fewer, like me. But it's complete. His observation is not only minute, it's complete. He sees it, notice in verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are what? All numbered. It's a powerful verse. They're all. He sees it all. Oh, I'm so glad. Your spirit, your soul, your body. God knows everything about you and loves you unconditionally. It's preeminent, the character of this observation. It's preeminent. That is, it's greater than any other. Nobody knows you like God. He knows everything about you. You can't hide anything from him. Amen? He sees it all. I'm so thankful for his observation over my life. It's tender. Its character is that it's tender. Just like any parent is affectionately concerned for the well-being of his child, God is so much more concerned for your well-being. Oh, it's tender. It's compassionate. Something else about this observation. It's sympathetic. Ooh, I like that. God not only observes our trials, but he goes through them with us. Hello? He sympathizes with us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, somewhere around verse 14, that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is able to succor, that is to help us through our trials. Wow, what a great God. His observation over me, something else, it's constant. Oh, I like that. It's constant. Do you realize that there's never a moment ever in your life when God is not with you, observing everything occurring, and in control of everything over your life? It's continual. It's constant. Oh, that's so good. But something else concerning this divine observation, not only its character, notice its lessons. His observation, in verse 30, of our every move, teaches us a few things. First, it teaches us concerning consecration. Knowing that God sees and knows everything about me, what a great motive that is to consecrate my life to Him. Amen. To live right in His sight. Secondly, concerning prayer. His observation of us teaches us to come to Him on our knees for our every need.
Oh, some would say, well, He already knows your need. You know, you said He knows everything.
Yeah, He does. But He wants you to come to Him. What father does not want his child has a need, to come to him? Say, Dad, you know, my sneakers got a hole in it. Let's go down to Walmart, get you some new sneakers. Right? That's because that he wants us to be in prayer to Him. His observation teaches us to be. Something else, it teaches us concerning circumstances. His observation of us teaches us that no matter how big or how small a problem I may be facing is, just like every hair on my head, so too my every trial is before His eyes. Why? Because of His observation. What did Jesus say? All your hairs are numbered by Him. I love it. Verse 29, look at it. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Yeah, they are. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. What does that mean? It means that He even observes the little birdies that He made. And when one falls and gets killed or run over by your car, He knows about it. Notice this, shall not fall on the ground without your Father. That means without His approval, His permission. Oh, this observation. He knows everything that happens, and He's with us through it all. In Hebrews chapter 4, hold your place in Matthew again. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We know the writer to be the Apostle Paul. I got 12 facts to prove it. But look with me in Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 12. I love this. He observes everything. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, you could quote it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, now watch the personifying of the word of God. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner. Discerner, that's knowing. Of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Observation. But all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He says God observes everything. What a peace that'll give to the child of God. He sees it all. He knows what they're doing to you. He knows about the trials and the persecutors. And He'll take care of it in His time and in His way. You don't have to lift a finger, child of God. I'm so thankful for that. He observes everything simultaneously. He's not limited like the devil to one place at a time. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, on all the time. Carl C. Williams writes about a town in Tennessee named Gatlinburg. It's a tourist city buried deep in the Great Smoky Mountains. The population of Gatlinburg, Tennessee is only 1,764 people. In and around the town are many beautiful scenes and many rolls of film are used in these parts. But the most photographed sight of all in Gatlinburg is the sculptured head of Jesus Christ in Christus Gardens. This breathtaking marble figure of the Savior is sculpted in such a way that the eyes appear to look in every direction. Regardless of where you stand, the eyes are upon you. Regardless of where you stand, His eyes are upon you. The song says, His eyes are on the sparrow and He watches over me. I'm so thankful for His observation. Jesus teaches us here in Matthew chapter 10. Oh, what a blessing it is. Now, that statue in Gatlinburg reveals a great truth. No matter where you are, His eyes are always on you. We've seen His foreordination. We've seen his observation. But thirdly, something else Jesus is trying to teach us, and that is his valuation.
Oh, I like this.
Look at verse 30. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Jesus here in verse 30 is saying that you are so highly valued by the Father that he numbers the hairs of your head. Let's stop for a moment here. Why would he do that? Why would God bother to count the hairs of Rita's head? Why? I'll tell you why. Because she's very valuable to him. And when you have something that is very dear to you, and you care about it, you love it so much, you care about all of it, every detail. Amen? I am so thankful this morning for the valuation that the Lord puts upon his children. Valuation. It's the act, Webster says, it's the act of estimating the value or worth of a thing. Setting a price upon. A fixed apprisement. That is an appraisal. And his valuation of you and you and you and you is very, very high. I'm so thankful this morning for that. Because listen to me. These disciples of Jesus Christ were very poor. They left all for Jesus. They left everything to follow him. But they were highly esteemed in the sight of heaven. Now follow me. The numbering of the hairs on the head mentioned in this text suggests several questions to us. One, if each hair is valued, what must their heads be worth? If each hair is valued, what must their bodies be worth? If each hair is valued, what must their souls be worth? If each hair is valued, what must they have cost the Lord to redeem? If each hair is valued, how can it be thought that he will lose one of them? If each hair is valued, ought not we greatly to esteem them ourselves and to take proper care of them? If each hair is valued, is it not our duty to seek after them who are not valued yet? Oh, folks, being so highly valued by God should encourage us to desire the valuation of others who are not yet in the fold. All this valuation is so precious. Look at verse 29. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more what? Value than many sparrows. He says, you, oh, church, I've got such good news for you this morning. You are so incredibly important to him. You are so loved by him. You are the apple of his eye. And the value that he places upon you is equivalent to the death of his own son. How could he value us so much to let his son die in our place? This value to God is worth more than anything in the universe. James chapter 5. Go with me to James chapter 5. Hold your place again. We're coming back. I am so thankful that God has placed a high valuation upon you and I. We're important, though the world doesn't know it. They don't know you from Adam. Look at it in James chapter 5, in verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. You're precious to him. And hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. We're in the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's saying you are precious to him. He values you so highly. Psalm 116 verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all his saints. You're precious. You're precious. I want to encourage you this morning because you are the most important thing in this world to him. Not the lost. He wants them to be saved. But if they don't get saved, you are the valuation of God. Listen to me. In Psalm 72, verse 11, go with me to Psalm 72. Look at it. Look at this psalm. I love this. His tender mercies are upon all. The psalmist says, well, this is messianic, by the way, to the core. Messianic. He's the king. Amen. And it says in Psalm 72, verse 11, look at it. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him.
We can stop right there, man. That says it all. All kings. Ahmadinejad, Assad, Putin, Trump. They all bow before our king. All nations shall serve him. Millennial. For this is messianic prophecy of the millennium. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. He hears you. The poor also, and him that hath no helper. You got nobody that cares about you? God cares. Look at it. He shall spare the poor and needy. He shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. What am I saying? I'm saying the valuation that God places upon you is precious. You are precious in his sight. Someone wrote, there is an eye that never sleeps beneath the wing of night. There is an ear that never shuts when sink the beams of light. There is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There is a love that never fails when earthly loves decay. There is a love that never fails, beloved, because he values you so highly. Peter McKenzie, an old Methodist preacher living in England, preached a sermon on John 3:16 long ago. Gypsy Smith tells us that the old preacher, after announcing his text, said, there are two striking things in my text this morning. First, when God loves, he loves a world. Second, when God gives, he gives the very best, his own son. Yeah, that's how much he valued you. Such is the boundless love of the eternal Father to mankind, he said. How much does he value you? He gave his everlasting son to die personally for you. That's a high valuation, beloved. We've seen foreordination. We've seen observation. We've seen valuation. But there's one more thing we must notice in Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 30. Notice his preservation. Oh, this is so good. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Listen carefully, beloved. Jesus is simply saying this. If all your hairs are numbered, all your hairs are preserved. Preserved. Kept. Amen? Listen to me. There's not a hair that you lose in the shower that he doesn't know about. Because he's got to deduct that from the total. Listen. This is called preservation. Jesus is saying, because all your hairs are numbered, everything about you is preserved by him. Everything. Your very breath, your heartbeat. Preservation is the act of keeping safe, to keep from injury, destruction, or decay. Preservation retains a thing in its original state. Wow! He's keeping me, Paul said, preserving me unto his heavenly kingdom when all the world comes against me. And they were against Paul. He said, he's the Lord stood with me, and by me the preaching kept on. Oh, he was so good. Praise the Lord, beloved. Listen carefully. The Lord Jesus is showing us here that the Father numbers our hairs because he preserves our entire being and that forevermore. He preserves us from the smallest loss. He maintains our lot. He preserves us from persecution, carries us through it. Look at verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't worry about what they do to you. He says, you belong to me. They cannot affect your soul. Oh, Martin Luther said, my conscience. I must go by my conscience. The word of God is the truth. Amen? Listen, he preserves us from persecution. He preserves us from danger and accident. The Bible says in Psalm 91, he should give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. His angels watch over you and me. Because why? Because he preserves us. He preserves us from necessity. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He preserves us from sickness. Sickness only sanctifies us and purifies us. Draws us closer to him. He preserves us from death. Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You'll never die. I can say that because Jesus said it. You will never die. You are an immortal soul that will live. Listen to me. If you have eternal life, you can't die. You have eternal life.
We can bury you 6 feet under and hold your funeral, but you're not dead. You're alive. Oh, I'm so thankful, beloved, that he loves you so much that he promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is mine helper. I will not fear what man shall do. He's preserving me. Luke 21. Flip over to Luke real quick. Look at this verse. In Luke 21, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is teaching them the preservation of God upon your eternal soul. In Luke 21, verse 17, he says to his disciples, and ye shall be hated of all men from an instant. You know what, we come into a period of time right now? They hate you. You don't go along with the LGBT community. You don't go along with the abortion crowd. You don't go along with the witchcraft and the occult and the New Age movement. They hate you. Look at it. You should be hated of all men for my name's sake. You name the name of Christ. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. They hate you. 2018. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. I love it. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. He says, don't worry about the world. God loves you and you will never perish. Look at it in verse 18. Not an hair of your head. In your patience, possess you your souls. He's simply saying the world cannot do anything to thwart my plans for you, child of God. Nothing. Wow. Why? Because of his preservation. His preservation over your life. He's got your hairs numbered, and not one of them will perish without his approval. Without his approval. Back in New York, I was the diaper man for 10 years while attending seminary, and then we went on to deputation for another 3 years. Every year, I service between 400 and 500 customers, diaper customers, and every year, certain women on my route would give me jars of what they call preserves. You know, it's called canning. Strawberries, preserves, raspberry preserves, all kinds of preserves. And they would use these special jars. And these jars would have a rubber seal. And when they fill that thing up, they'd shut it and they'd clamp it shut. They sealed it. You know what it's called? You know what they're called? Preserves. You know what's inside that thing? Tastes so good. And it stays fresh. It stays just as delicious as the day they canned it. Why? Because it's preserved. It's preserved. Listen to me carefully. Long periods of time may pass, but the preservation continues. That's what Jesus does for you and I. Jesus said, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, you're preserved. Oh, we may not look it. We may have a bad hair day. But we're preserved in Jesus Christ. Once we are positionally placed into the body of Christ, we are eternally secured by his preservation, which is divine. We've seen God's foreordination. We've seen God's observation. We've seen God's valuation. We've seen God's preservation. But one last thing, and I'll be done. Listen to Jesus Christ, beloved. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. How many are numbered? Oh, yeah, yeah. All. All. All means all in the King James. Amen? Listen carefully, folks. I'm so thankful this morning that we are preserved and that forevermore by the Lord Jesus. Let me give you this in closing and I'll be done. One of the English martyrs in the 16th century was most cruelly treated in the prisons of the Inquisition by Rome. Before his execution, his brother obtained permission to visit him. When he saw the poor sufferer, he was deeply affected by the sight. He exclaimed, "My brother!" The bruised saint lifted his head up and said, "My dear brother, why do you distress yourself so for me? Do you not know that a leaf cannot fall to the ground without the will of God our Father? And how much more doth he wait for my soul to embrace him above? So comfort yourself, my brother, in Christ Jesus, for these present troubles are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come for us." And he went to the stake, and he went home to be with Jesus. He understood that the very hairs of his head were all numbered by the Father. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the numbered hairs. How we thank you, Lord, for the observation, that valuation, the preservation. How we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. How we thank you, Lord, that in such a Jesus, you would use such simple things to teach such eternal lessons to your people. Father, this morning we're so grateful that we are the preserved of Jesus Christ. I can see looking in this church this morning that everyone is saved. That means every one of their hairs are numbered. We thank you for that, Lord. We're part of a special group called the Bride of Christ, the Church of the Living God. And Lord, we're thankful this morning that we can go forth from this church with confidence that you are with us. Lord, that you are preserving us. You are observing us. You are valuing us, Lord, very, very highly. Lord, we need to realize who we are in Jesus Christ. Today, the church has an identity crisis. And Lord, if we just get a hold of looking at the way you look at us, Lord, and realizing the great plans that you have for each of our lives and for this church in Hooksett, New Hampshire, Lord, our whole attitude will change. We'll realize that our God is going to do great things through my life. We love you this morning for it, Lord, and thank you for the encouragement, Holy Spirit, that you give to each and every one of us. And Father, my prayer this morning is that many around the world will hear this message and be greatly comforted and encouraged in their walk of faith, that they would realize that they are so valued by God that they can hold their head up and proudly proclaim, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus Christ without fear. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll have an invitation. And altar is open. We have a padded altar. Easy on the knees, you know. 179. Let's stand and we'll open to 179. Thank the Lord for the promises of God. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fifth. First, second, and fifth of 179, folks. Altar is open if you need it. We're not sitting, we're standing.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fears assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, we're standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in the Savior as my Lord in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God.
Woo-hoo. I think they mean it. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God, folks. We will be here at 6 tonight if you're able. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Brother Seth, what a blessing to have you. We'll ask you to dismiss us in prayer, brother.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you. David, you've given us mm-hmm. to God for your son Jesus Christ through his precious blood atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I just thank you, God, for the message this morning that God has preserved us and has numbered every hair on our head, and that we are yours. We just thank you, God, for all you're going to do for us today. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that we would hide this message in our hearts and that we would go forth and live it today. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Amen.